Welcome to today's episode of Profitable Word by Reverend Francis W. Albing, Lead Pastor, The Keeper's House Chapel International. And now to today's word.
Let's read the scripture. In the morning, I preach a message about spread the gift. Be generous and spread the gift. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. Spread the gift, part two. Please take your seat. One thing is very clear in this scripture, that God has a gift for humanity. God has gift. He said the gift of God is eternal life. This eternal life, the Bible said, it comes through Jesus Christ. So Jesus, according to John 3:16, is God's gift of love for humanity. And this gift is a free gift of salvation, of redemption. In John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus is the gift of the triune God as an expression of love towards humanity that was perishing and could not save herself. And this gift is a gift not just unto us now who have come to believe, but it's a gift unto all humanity. In Titus chapter 2 verse 11, Titus 2:11, the scripture said, let's read it together, one go. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has what? Appeared to all men. Shall I read it one more time? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has what? Appeared to all men. Can we read it in a Message translation? The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In the Message, let's read it together. One go. God's readiness to give and forgive is now what? Public. Salvation's available for what? Everyone. God's grace is no longer private. Grace has been made public. It's now public. God's salvation is available for everyone. Salvation is available for everyone. And because the grace has appeared to all men, salvation is not leaving anyone behind. All of us, even if you were born by the devil, as long as you are still in your humanity, salvation is available for you. Why? Because we are saved not by works, we are saved by what? Grace. That means that we did not do anything to deserve this grace. We did not do anything to acquire this grace. This grace was given to us free of charge. It's a free gift of God unto salvation. Free gift. And this gift, though is free, has become very scarce and expensive to those who are perishing. And the reason why the free gift has become scarce and expensive to those perishing is because the delivery boys and girls are not running the errands. Delivery boys and girls. And Jesus knew that these errand boys will try not to do the work well. So he did not suggest, he did not try to persuade, he instructed, he commanded. He said to them, go ye to all the world, go. Don't stay, go. He knew that once something is free and people have to make sure that everyone has it, they are going to try to make it private. They are going to, because people are hoarders. Many people like to hoard. what has been freely given to them. I'm here right now. There are people who are receiving love, but they are hoarding the love. They cannot easily give out love. There are people, your husband is loving you, but it's very difficult for you to give back that love. Your wife is loving you. You receive it. You receive the love. They give you the love. You say, and then you choke it. When you receive that, you close the door. And you receive another. And you receive another. Like that. To give that love out, they have to stir you up. Spark you again like a locomotive. Then you spark once. And you don't do the no. You just keep receiving. There are people who can receive love, but it's very difficult for them to give love. If we were to go to people's houses right now, you will see hoarders, people who hoard, including things that were dashed them, things that they don't need, things that are not of use. It's making your house time pass a messy. You don't need it. You will never need it. And yet, it's so difficult for you to let go. Some of it, no human being in their right sense can even use it. And yet, you have found a space somewhere. You call it storage. To store things that are of no use. They are supposed to be refuse. By now, they should be burnt so that they will go to the ozone layer and deplete the ozone so that climate change will happen. Things that are not of use, but it's so difficult for you to let go. Others you have outgrown. Your last child is 7 years old. And you are expecting another child. For 7 years, this baby stuff for the last one has not found its way to someone who needs it now. You are still hoarding and waiting. You have been waiting for 7 years. Other children would have used it, in a more profitable way. Why? And the Lord knew that this is how we are. And we worry a lot. We are not generous. So in Matthew chapter 6, he says that, I know that this is how you are, so you don't worry. Don't even worry about what you eat tomorrow. Because if I allow you and I don't clarify for you, you will just hoard. Some people will not even eat today. That they want to hoard today's food for tomorrow. And they will die today. They won't get to tomorrow. Once something is free, people don't want to share. When the manna fell in the wilderness, the Lord told them, he said, when you go, take what you can eat. Don't bother for what will happen to you. Just take what you can eat. But you know, human beings, they took and overtook. They took more than they could. And all of that tend to, maggot and then da-da-da-da-da-da. But ask somebody, why are we like that? Like, why? Why are we not generous? We find it very difficult to be. When something is free, I think that you shouldn't even scuffle for it. You just take small. Are you with me? But Charlie, you just see a typical black man going for a buffet. You like call it buffet. They want to eat so that other people will not get. One time we went for a pastor, we went out to eat like that. And one of our branch pastors, when he went there, he went for hardcore food. Hardcore. Took banku and okro. Full bowl. Banku here, okro here. As if he was eating so that no one else will eat. He ate he got full and he started sleeping. And we were eating small. So I said, why did you eat like that? You eat it small. The gift of salvation is free. Is what? The reason why many people don't have it is because we have not extended this free gift to as many as possible within our reach. And this free gift that is now public We are struggling to make it visible and trying to make it accessible. It's available for everyone. The grace of God that saves has appeared unto all men. There is a judgment coming and men will be found wanting. Paul said in Colossians, he said, because it's going to be dire when we die, I am begging you, I'm begging you with everything I have, that escape, do what? Look at the scripture. He says it's going to be dire. What is coming is dangerous. So because of that, I am begging all of you, I'm beckoning on you, just escape. In Colossians 1:28, look at what the scripture said. Paul said, he's talking about Jesus, saying, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We are preaching Christ. Who are we preaching? Preaching Christ. And as we are preaching, the reason why we are preaching Christ is that we are warning men. The preaching is to warn men that this God is not only a lovely God. It's only lovely whilst you are alive. Once you die, you won't see the love of God again. Please tell somebody, you are only going to feel the love when you are alive. People are going to see it when they are alive. Once we die, there is no love for us. Yeah. Once a human being dies, God is not showing that person love. If you didn't enter in faith, if that person did not have the opportunity to receive the life of Christ, once that person dies, we can buy mass for the person. We can buy a whole convention at the keeper's house for the funeral of the person, because he's a good person. He built a church. He did whatever, whatever. All of that will not secure the love of God for the person. The love of God is secured when men are alive. When you die, there is nothing we can do posthumous to secure the love of God for you. When you die, you are dead. And beyond that, there is only one thing. Either you'll be moved to the left or you'll be moved to the right. The scripture said in Hebrews 9:27, it says that there will be appointment of death, and after that is what? Judgment. Hebrews 9:27. He said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. How many times?
Once.
Just once. Once, not twice. If somebody died and rose up from dead at the hospital, the person didn't die. If you really die, you won't come back. Maybe you went into coma. Maybe you stopped breathing for some time. Maybe something, but if you really, really die, we'll bury you. Some people get afraid when they hear about death. I think you should be more concerned about what's happening here. Because one day, when time is up, it's an appointment. This appointment is in the hand of the maker. It's not in your hand. When he's ready, you will not know. You will open your eyes on the other side. And you will meet your maker. And he will say, first of all, he will welcome you. Whether you are deserving of his place or not. You say, welcome. Welcome to the court. Court, rise. All rise. Then we'll rise. Then your life will be played before you. So for those of us who love people, we love them. This is the time to show your love to the people who are dear to you. Not only that, but because this grace has appeared to all men, you cannot go past people on a daily basis without giving them this free gift. And this free gift is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This free gift is what? Jesus Christ. I'm telling you. One day, a rich man died and a poor man also died. Poor man is called Lazarus. They all went to the after death experience. And then the rich man was in the hellfire burning and called out to Abraham that, Abraham, you know, he was still chopping post beyond the earthly dimension. He says, send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and then give it to me because I'm on fire. Look, he's just showing us how life will be when you die without Christ. He said, I am on fire. I'm burning. I just need, this is a rich man that the poor person was begging for crumbs at his gate. The dogs had food, the poor person didn't have food. But beyond the natural, he has become so poor that he's looking for water from the tip of this poor beggar. This is how, without Christ, you are very poor. Any human being without Christ is almost gone. Poor person, this world will not matter again. Christ is the only thing that matters here and there, or hereafter. So he told Abraham. Abraham said, no. At this level where we are, mercy is not shown. This level where we are, there's no generosity. He said, I can, but I will not, because I'm not permitted. We are not even permitted to cross over from here to there to help you. If there is any help we can offer men, this is the time. Because once we cross over from here, there is no mercy, there is no generosity, there is no grace available, there is no love. If you are perishing, you will perish. If someone who is dear to your heart is perishing, they will perish. Are you with me? You can't do anything about it. And this scripture is illustrating to us that possibly when you are in heaven, you will see those in hell, how they are functioning there. Hey, look at somebody by your side. In case, put the caveat there, perish the thought. In case you don't appear in heaven, I'm not saying hell, or let me use heaven. In case you don't appear in heaven, I will see you like both throat. Puff, puff. Turning in the hot oil. Turning everywhere. Bible says shouting, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Just imagine the person. You say, I love you, my dear. I love you, my husband. I love you, my wife. And you are here and they are there. And they are turning like fish in frying oil. It will not be small. You serve them food. You serve them everything you have here, minus the free gift. This is a neighbor service. What is the best gift? What best gift can we offer to our neighbors? Christ is the least and the most important at the same time. Christ. Then the man says something. The rich man said, he said, can you send so that my siblings, my relatives will be preached to? Send angels, send people from here. And Abraham's response was that they have the prophets, they have the preachers, they have the people in the keeper's house. Let them listen to them. Church, as we are here right now, there are people in hell who are petitioning heaven to send Apostle Paul and angels to come and preach to their relatives. They didn't make it, but they don't want their loved one. Can you imagine that people in hell have a mind that they don't want their loved ones who are on earth to come to the hell that they find themselves? I thought that they said hell wants more. It's never satisfied. he can see the rich man there. He says that, no, this place, none of my relatives should land here. Please, I need an intervention. Send someone from here. Maybe because they see what is happening, they'll be able to preach it with some tenacity and intensity, with passion, and they will not be playing around. I think that to some extent, the reason why we don't take the message of salvation serious is that we don't know the enormity, the veracity of the situation. We have not come to terms with the fact that this is a very serious matter. It's a serious matter that a person created by the Lord will burn in hell. I mean, recently, people are even preaching that hell does not exist. You have to be out of your mind to think that you know something beyond what scriptures have said. You have to be out of your mind. Hell is there. We know God exists. We know devil exists. We know when we die, people will be with God. And people will be without God. Those that will not be without God, where would they be? Don't lie to yourself. These are the kind of lies people tell themselves and tell other people, and then jeopardize their chances of making it to heaven. So we are here and somebody created us. We came here. We choose to do whatever we want. We'll go back and then we'll come again. You know, some of you think, when I come again, I will marry you. You are not serious. I'm coming to marry who? You are not tired marrying. Everything is about marriage. Love. No. Hell is real. The Bible is clear. It's reserved for Satan and those who will not have anything to do with Jesus. You will be there. Free gift. He said, let the people here preach. Okay, so heaven and hell have agreed that if anyone will hear about salvation to make them escape this destruction, you and I who are here, we are the ones to preach to those people. Not angels, not the spirit of just men made perfect, not anything. But he said, let them listen to Pastor Francis. Let them listen to Sister Achere. Let them listen to Brother. Let them listen to... The question I want to ask you this afternoon is that the people are ready to listen. Have you been ready to communicate? Have you gone? He said, send people. He didn't say, go and tell my relatives to come. He said, send people to go to them. Please, let us see. There is a methodology to this salvation. That if people will be saved, then senders, messengers, missionaries must go to those who are not saved. The unsaved do not have any duty to come to be saved. It is the people carrying the salvation message that should go to the unsaved. It has always been so in the Bible. That if people will be saved, others should go to them. The perishing don't need to come. They need to be visited, and then senders, missionaries, have to go to them. Look at what the Bible said. It said, a people sitting in darkness, a great light has shone amongst them. They are sitting in darkness. We are the light of the world. We have to show up there. Then we'll be sitting in church. We say that they don't like church. They don't want to go to church. They are not supposed to come to church. They are not supposed to come to Jesus. We are supposed to take the life of God to them. The light of God to them. They are not supposed to go anywhere. We are supposed to go to them. Jesus said, go ye to all the world. Go to them. Go. He said, go. Go to Kai Shapalaba. He said, go to the streets. He said, go to the corners. Go to the highways. Go to the brothels. Go to the shrine. Go everywhere that sinners are. You go. And as you are going, some of you will lose your lives. But go. Just go. We think we'll play music outside there and people will come to church. No. We go to them. Tell somebody we go. Tell somebody the command is go. Go. Do you know that God left his abode in eternity and came to the earth to save man. Salvation has always been divinity leaving its space to the space of humanity to rescue the helpless human being. He left, what's the song? You came from heaven to earth to show he came. We didn't go to him. No, he came. The Bible said we love him because what? I can't hear you. The first step is always from the Savior to the perishing. It has never been the perishing person going to the Savior that I want to be saved. And I will tell you why it is so. In Revelation, the Bible said that the King of Kings said, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. It is he went to the door. They are inside chilling themselves to hell. He went to the door. He said, I'm coming. I'm coming. He went to the house of a known sinner. The people were shocked. He said, no, this is salvation. Salvation, the sinner doesn't come. You go to the sinner. Are you here with me at all? Are you sure you are here? That's why Christ came in the form of man. He came to our level. Tell somebody, go to their level. We have to go. They can never come. Please tell somebody, they can never come. We have to go. Yeah. If we are not ready to go, that means that they will perish and then they will burn in hell. Sometimes we have funny ideas in church. You know, if you make the church great, they will come. Nobody will come. Nobody will come. And I'm going to show you a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Let's just read that and then we'll close. The reason why they cannot come is because when someone does not have Christ, when someone is a sinner, that person, the Bible says, is a dead man. It's what? It's a dead man. That's why this free gift is important. Ephesians 2:1. Ephesians 2:1. And you has he quickened who were dead in trespass and in sin. They were dead in what state were they dead in? Trespass and in what? In sin. So when you are in the person who doesn't have Christ, this scripture is self-interpreting, is self-revealing. Verse number 2. I don't want to say anything there, but you will see the condition of somebody who doesn't have Christ. What state they find themselves in. Verse number 2 says that, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So someone doesn't know Christ, there's a spirit working in that person. And there is a lifestyle that comes with it. That person is caught up in the world and the spirit of disobedience is working in them. It's operating in them. It's a spirit. Verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So here, you can't blame the armed robber. I'm not talking about law. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm talking about the fact that these people, they were given to the lust of the flesh. They had no other means of living except that somebody is there and then he feels like, let me be an armed robber. That's their world. Let me sniff cocaine. That's their world. Let me be a prostitute. That's their world. So, you know, church, sometimes we are fixated on talking about the wrongdoings of people. This one is a fornicator. It's an adulterer. It's a gay. It's this. This is it. Salvation is not interested in talking about lesbianism, talking about gayism, talking about... Some of you even see people, you see somebody say lesbian, saying, we am a time. Hey! You see a lesbian and says that it's obnoxious to me. Because you are privileged to know Jesus. So their life is nauseating in your nostrils. You feel like vomiting because of them. But this is where they are. Someone is gay. It's a perverted lust. Cannot follow a particular course that is the regular biological normal order.
Because sin just disorders everything, disorganizes everything, scatters everything. That's why somebody will see an animal and sleep with an animal. Are you here with me at all? I had a story where one small girl, the first time somebody had sex, an adult had sex with the small girl, was when the small girl was in class 3. What are you looking for? Class 3 girl. But some people, that is where their life is. Because that is what is relevant in that space. Verse 4 says that, no, let's read verse 3 and come back to verse 4. Oh my God. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, not by act. We are not talking about events. We are not talking about wrongdoing. See, we were by nature the children of wrath. Sin is not first an action. It's not an act of wrongdoing. That's not sin. Sin is first of all a nature that someone has. When that nature is in place, it will give birth to its fruit. To give birth to all the works of the flesh, drunkenness, witchcraft, idolatry. All these things that we feel they are just, you know, an absurdity to life. It is produced by the nature of what? Sin. Say, by nature we were the children of wrath, even as others. Now what happened? What changed our course? He said, but God, verse number 4. Please put it on the bigger screen. Verse number 4. Let's read it together. One, go. But God, who is what? Rich in what? Say, glory be to God. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are what? Saved. Verses. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you put this one, verse 5 and 6, in the message? I want to read it in different translations until I get what I want. He says that he embraced us. He took our sin dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Now, say the dead man is helpless. He says that the sinner is a dead man. This is what scripture wants you to know. So when we now say, you know, I said to the first service, we use certain semantics that are funny when it comes to salvation. When he says, I give your life to Christ. Where is the life? A dead man has no life to give. You don't give your life to Christ. Christ comes into your life to give you life. You have no life to give to Christ when you are a dead man. We don't collect life from mortuary. Collect dead bodies. There is no one in the mortuary that has anything to offer any living being. Why? Because they are dead. When sin is in your life, when you don't have Christ, your conceptualization is that you are what? Dead. Dead because you are in sin. So we are dealing with dead men. Our real missionary field is a mortuary. They are not alive. The Bible says they are blinded. Blinded by the God of this world. They sit in darkness. They are dead. Dead. Insensitive. Irresponsive. That's why you can shout. Talk to them about, why are you fornicating? Da, 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 da. That's not what changes anybody. You cannot preach sin to a sinner. You cannot make sinner more conscious about sin. Because sin does not bring life. Sin does not open the eye of a sinner. Are you here with me at all? A sinner in sin is in their natural habitat of deadness. This is where their deadness is their life. Sin will sponsor more deadness in people's life until they will see the deadness as the life they live. That's why those who preach they don't change anybody. There is something that brings life to the dead man. He said, then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in the company of Jesus. Please give me that verse 5. This one, message is not trying for me. Give me King James. Even when we're dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. So when somebody says, give your life to Christ, we know what the person is saying, but it's not good language. Give what life? What life are you giving to Christ? There's no life. You can't give your life to Christ because you, until Christ comes, you don't have life. That's why he said, I'm the way. John 14, verse 6. I'm the truth and I'm the life. If somebody doesn't have Christ, the person is dead. Person is what?
Dead.
Now, have you seen a dead person move from the mortuary to your house before? Hello? A dead person cannot move. So when we are expecting people who don't know Christ to come, why? Why are you expecting the people in the mortuary to come home on their own? They don't have the capacity. They are incapable of doing that. A dead person is incapable of coming to the Lord. Is incapable of coming to the kingdom. Is incapable of coming to church. Is incapable of coming, moving from where they are to wherever you are expecting them. We have unreal expectations that they will come. Maybe when we create an atmosphere, they won't come. Atmosphere will not make anybody come. If someone is there, we can go to the funeral, and if we don't carry the dead person will remain there forever. Two of us. People who don't know Christ, I just want to tell you that they do not have the capacity to do what you are thinking they should be doing. Please ask somebody, do you understand the little thing Pastor is telling you today? Why you should take the free gift to them. So, please, I need some people to do illustration. Boys, because I want you to lie down. This will remain there though. Then I say, Duke, come. Does he have the capacity to hear? Does he have the capacity to come? Emmanuel, come. Even though he bears the name of Jesus. Emmanuel, come. 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 Edward, come. This one is a doctor. But when you die, you die. Come. Come. This is Keeper's house. This kingdom of God. All three of you, strong men. All of you taller than me. Come. A stone cold dead. This is not the final state of their lives. So when we say, come to church, come to church, come to Christ, they can't come. They cannot come. That's why God came. So Jesus, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, but God, verse 5, he says that, but God, rich in mercy, came and gave them life. So we carry this Christ, who is life, and then we go. I don't know. Can you give me tissue or something? Water. Maybe chow beans. Some of you are me. I have meant you long time. Okay. Where we are illustrating, you know. Where you feel the water somewhere and jump back to life. Christ is alive. Okay. They can't come, but I am coming. I'm the messenger. And I'm coming. He said, when you go preach Christ, you are preaching Christ, you are preaching life. So when we come, we say that, oh, Jesus is the Savior. Receive Jesus. Small. This is life. Somebody can resurrect from the mortuary if we can give them the right life. Receive Jesus. Life. Receive Jesus. Life. Is when we now clap your hand if you want. You see that no matter how I was shouting, crying, praying, they were not coming anywhere. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus.
and went. He said, I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. So we send life to these people. When we bring life, when we give them Jesus, that is the life. Now that they have life in Christ, they can now give life because they have life. But prior, no life. Dead. And now these people can be useful in the kingdom because they have received Jesus Christ. Please. So, if we don't go, dead men everywhere. If we are waiting for them to come, deader than the dead. The only way there's a possibility for life is when we go with life. Go and give them Jesus. You can have neighbors, whether they are housemate, community mate, industry players mate, and all of that. And the least that is required of you as a child of God is to give them life. Because there can be people around you and they are dead men. You think they are alive, but they are dead. And the reason why they are dead is not because they are not breathing, it's because they don't have Christ. That's why you tell your neighbor that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to give you his life so that you can have life. You want people to turn from the wrong course. What you give them is not advice. What you give them is Christ. Christ, when that nature changes, it will now adhere to a proper means of living and a proper way of living. I was telling the first church that, do you know why when they give people small money, they go and do contract killing? Because in their deadness, righteous things don't fascinate them. It's only dead works that brings them passion and fire. That's why somebody will kill you just for a bracelet. Because that is what the dead nature is saying it should do. These campuses around us are full of dead men and women because they don't have Christ. Communities around us, dead men and women, we are privileged to have this Jesus, this life in us. And like I told the first church, Jesus, he didn't die twice. When he died, he now told the disciples, I have come to offer myself. Collect this life and move to every part of the world and give it to other men. Praise the Lord. Give it to other men. You want to see symbolically when God breathed his breath into the clay that became Adam. He didn't create another clay to breathe into that clay. He wanted to create other human beings who were living beings. He collected from the first one that he put his life in. From his rib, he created another. So Jesus is not coming here to do the work again. Jesus is in you. The next person who will be created with life must come from what you do with that person. Praise the Lord. Not Jesus coming again. When he comes, he's coming to collect his church. We are responsible for the life of dead men. That is why we have to go. If we don't go, there is no chance for dead people to have life. Please rise. We can do it together in appreciation for hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. He said, John 3:16. He says, if you believe and receive, you will have eternal life. You will not be condemned. You believe him, you will not perish, but have what? Jesus gives life. You cannot give your life to Christ when you don't have Christ. Because there's no life there. You receive life when Jesus comes into your life, into your heart. That's when you receive life. You start living from there. I want you to thank God that you already know Jesus. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Father, I thank you that I know you. If you don't know the Lord, thank Him that today is giving you His life, which is available already for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Shekobado. Father, I thank you. Father, I bless you. Father, I give you praise. Life to our communities, life to our neighbors. I want you to pray to God for the grace for you to send life to people you know, people you love, who are dear to your heart, people you meet on a daily basis, you meet from time to time, that you will become the point and the source of life to them. Don't need to condemn anybody. You just need to give them life. They will wake up from their slumber and wake up from the dead works. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name. If you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you have heard the word of God. You have heard the word of God. It's only when Jesus comes into your heart that you receive His life, which becomes life to live. I want every eye to be closed. If you are here today and you don't have Jesus in your heart, you do not have life yet, but you want to say, Jesus, today into my heart and give me your life. If you are that person, I'd like you to raise your right hand. I'll pray with you wherever you are. Bible says with the heart you believe with the, and then you make confessions with your mouth, Jesus, and then salvation. You know, it's not confessing yourself, it's confessing that Jesus should come into your life, into your heart. Life. If you are here, you want Jesus. Jesus, come. Jesus, come, give me this free gift of life, this eternal life. Thank you, Father. I want everyone to lift your hand right now and say, Father, I thank you that I have your life flowing through me. I have eternal life running through me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for life. Thank you for your life. Thank you that you have made me a life giver. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap offering. Give the Lord a big clap offering.
Be a part of our family on social media at the Keeper's House Chapel International. Visit us at the Testimony Arena, Jefamco Junction, Medina Estate. You can also follow Reverend Francis Obing on all social media platforms. God bless you.